Open your Bibles with me this morning to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Thank you, Lord. And let's look. Now, yesterday evening was one of those services where I all I did was start it. And it began to go into life and death and so forth. And that's what this book is. And we choose life. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. The thief cometh but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's the dividing point of the Bible right there. Amen. So you're on one side or the other of that divide. Now, once that flow begins, then unless the Lord directs in another way, and of course I check it out with him as I did this, and so in the fourth chapter of the book of Thessalonians, and praise God. Look at the sixth verse. No man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified, for God hath not called us unto uncleanliness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despises not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. But as touching brotherly love, well, you see, you always come back to love. But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for you yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed you do it toward all the brethren which are in Macedonia, but we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more in love. And that you study to be quiet and to do your own business, to work with your own hands as we commended you, that you may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that you may have lack of nothing. You may have lack of nothing. Well, that you may have lack of nothing. Praise God. That means spirit, soul, and body. Now, but I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, or those that have passed on, that have departed, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Now, sorrow not, that word sorrow is the Greek word lapeo, which is grief. Let me read it to you from the Classic Amplified. Now also we would not have you ignorant, brethren, about those who fall asleep in death, that you may not grieve for them, as the rest do who have no hope beyond the grave. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, we believe that, right?
Yes.
Oh yeah, we believe that.
Yes.
Glory. Oh, yes. I don't believe that. I know that. That's in my knower. And I just know that I know. Glory to God. I know him. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. We declare to you by the Lord's own word that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall in no way proceed into his presence or have any advantage at all over those who have previously fallen asleep in him in death. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a loud cry of summons and with a shout of an archangel and with the blast of the trumpet of God, and those who have departed this life in Christ will rise first. then we, the living ones who remain on the earth, shall simultaneously be caught up along with the resurrected dead in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so always through the eternity of the eternities we shall be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort and encourage one another with these words. Grief has no place in our lives. Grief, as we talked about last night, can bring sickness and disease, because grief is the companion of death. But now, I really like the way the apostle put this, that those that have fallen asleep, but then there's people come up and said, well, you know, they're in the sleep of death and they're just asleep somewhere. Don't take one scripture. Go, take the body of the Word of God, and you know exactly what happens. To be absent. I mean, the same apostle said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, and you're not asleep when you get there. Let me show you just how easy that is. To be absent from the body. That's just how easy it is. Come on, get up. That coat is dead as a sack of rocks. Why? I'm not in it. It has no life in it. I am the life of that coat. Amen. Now, would you assist me, please? Would you pick my body up and put it in the grave? See, I can't do it. I'm gone. So he puts it in the grave, and he puts it up for me, because I'm coming back after it. But right now, thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Right now, I am the life of this coat, because this coat was made for me. That illustration should help. But Brother Copeland, I don't know. You probably don't know. I don't know what happened to Uncle Bobo. Okay, so you don't know. Trust God.
Yes.
You don't know what happened in that last second or two.
That's right. That's right.
There are testimonies now of that. I'm thinking about one testimony where this woman kept witnessing to her husband. She kept talking to him, and he just laughed her off. Wouldn't have anything to do with it. Just wouldn't have anything to do with it. And she just kept on. I saw it on the 700 Club. And thank God for Pat Robertson and Gordon and the 700 Club. Glory to God. Friends for a long, long time. And boy, I tell you what, he just had a heart attack that was something and just died in his pickup. Well, he stepped out of his body. Yeah. And he went through some pretty rough places. But the prayers of his wife and the witnessing she had done to him, those things were inside of him. They were inside his spirit, see. Yeah. And he went through, when he left his body, he went through some pretty rough places there. But God just straightened him out and gave him his choice.
Wow.
You can go back healed and finish working for me, or you can just come on. No, he said, I'd rather go back and make up for how I messed up before. Well, what if he had chosen to go on? She would have thought he died and went to hell because he never did in front of her confess that Jesus was Lord. And I wanted that to get through because you're right. You don't know. But we do know that God is not only a just God, he is a very merciful God. Amen. Praise God. So grief is a killer. And I'm speaking to someone online that you've been grieving. I'm telling you, stop it right now. So in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I bind the spirit of grief. I bind the spirit of death. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I rebuke death this morning. I rebuke the spirit of death. I rebuke the spirit of fear. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Now you leave. And I plead the blood. Now, wait a minute. Now, what does that mean? I'm particularly us Holy Ghost people. I mean, we just plead the blood a lot. But, Mama did that. And Grandma did that. And I do it. Well, what did you do when you did that? That's a legal term. I plead my case. I plead my case according to the 43rd chapter of the book of Isaiah. I am he who blotteth out thy transgressions for my own sake. And I'll not remember them anymore. Now, there's some good news this morning. And that came up in front of me one day, and I said, Lord, no. You did that for my sake, not your sake. No. I mean, he snapped back at me. He said, I did it for my sake. I don't get it. And he said, do you like to remember bad things about your children? I said, no, I don't. I forgive my children. And I've taught them that, and that once you come to me with this or so forth, I don't bring it up anymore. I don't come back at you anymore. Because in this case, I do my best to be a father like the Father God. And once you confess that sin, it's gone, and don't bring it back up to him either. That's rude. Because he said it in the first chapter of 1 John. Walk in the light as he is in the light, and his blood cleanses you from all sin. Amen. So I plead the blood. And we've overcome the spirit of grief. We've overcome the devil. We've overcome principalities and powers. We've overcome the rulers of the darkness of this world. We've overcome wicked spirits in the heavenly places. By the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. I plead the blood. What have I done? I have pled the blood of the covenants. In the name of Jesus, I plead the blood and just throw the both covenants, both blood covenants, right in the devil's face. I plead the blood. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. And that there's healing in that. Oh, There's healing and joy in knowing who you are in Christ Jesus. Knowing what belongs to you. Healing belongs to you. Healing belongs to me. Healing belongs to the United States. Because the United States has a covenant with God. First words count. All Bible scholars agree that the first occurrence of a word in the Bible, then it carries that all the way throughout both covenants. Genesis 6:3, that's right at the beginning. that God himself said, I'm paraphrasing, I'm not going to put up with men living so long anymore. So their normal lifespan will be 120 years. So now, as you flow down through the Bible, and you come to the book of Leviticus, and it begins to talk about foods that human beings should not eat. Well, why? Because he's setting you up to live healthy and without sickness or disease for 120 years. Now, isn't it amazing that medical science, without the Bible, has come to the conclusion that without sickness and disease, the human body should live 120 years. Well, everybody sooner or later, whether you like it or not, will catch up with the Bible. Science, a little by little, you know, finally catch up with the Bible. That book is right. And the answers of human life are in it. But it has to be spiritually discerned. It is a code book. And it's received by the spirit of man, not the mind of man. Amen. And divine healing is a spiritual thing. And it spills over into natural healing.
Glory, hallelujah.
I've given you my testimony. You know, about that pacemaker. And I said, no, Lord, I'll just get this. But no, he said, receive the pacemaker by faith. So I did that. And of course, they went in there, you know, and checked and all to see if I needed some kind of a stent. No, I didn't need a stent. Praise God. Amen. But I already had obligated myself and covenanted with God to live 120 years. The covenant was in place. When you find the word glory, the first reference to glory in the Bible was finance. Just go check it out and find it. He has gotten all this glory. Amen. I'm not going to do your homework. I'll just tell you it is in the first covenant. Amen. And it had to do with a certain man and his wife. And I'm not as far as I'm going to go with you. Amen. Glory to God. So, now then, so deal with the spirit of grief. Yes. I will not tolerate that in my life. I won't tolerate it, but we do not tolerate it at EMIC. Now then, that doesn't mean that we don't minister to people, members of the church, in a time when they need you. Amen. But more than once, I've used that scripture right there. I'm thinking about one particular woman and her husband, a close friend. And he was, frankly, not old enough to die. And it was sudden. And so, and I had to fly in to be a part of his homegoing service. I don't like funerals. They're homegoing service, homegoing celebrations. Now we go and we spend a lot of time, Christians spend a lot of time, you know, getting people to heaven. And then when one of them goes, crying, bawling, squall, grieve. Now you can obviously see where that comes from. It certainly didn't come from God. Do you know what the Bible says about it? He takes pleasure in the homecoming of his saints. Well, the Bible says death. He takes pleasure in the death of his saints. Well, why? Listen, this earth is a rotten place to live. At the very best, it's a bummer. And even if for some reason someone's departure was premature, my little great-grandson, just a little while ago. And Clark, just a little boy. And so, and at his homegoing service, I saw it in the spirit. I mean, I saw it. Just as plain as I'm seeing you right now, I could see it. And Clarky was, and I just said it out loud, he's with the children. And I mean, Clarky was having a hoot. He was having so much fun. It was just marvelous. But hey, Clark is in our future. Amen. Amen. We're going to see Clark soon. And here's what's so wonderful about it. Here's what's so amazing about it. I had the Lord teach me this and talk to me about this. And there's others that I have visited with that have been to heaven and back. And it's just unanimous. When Rachel, Clark's mother, my granddaughter, when Rachel gets to glory, Clark will be the same age. She and Caleb will still raise Clark Mayer. Yes. Just in a whole lot better environment. Yes. It's time for you to praise God this morning. Now that helps someone. That helps someone to get there. Amen. And so begin to think instead of, now control your thinking. Say this, my mind is my mind. I think what I choose to think. And I choose to think according to God's word. I think his thoughts after him. Glory to God. So begin to think life thoughts instead of grief thoughts. And a grief thought begins to come by and says, no, you don't. No, you don't. No, you don't. Glory to God. Just say, no, I don't. I just don't do that. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Hang on just a moment. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Turn there with me. Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. Did you hear that? The meekness and gentleness of Christ, the Anointed One, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with the confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. That's powerful. For though we walk in the flesh, though we're in this body, we do not war after the body. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. The weapons of our warfare are not human, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, a stronghold is not a bad thing. If that stronghold is the Word of God. Amen. So, pulling down of strongholds. Look, casting down imaginations and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against your knowledge of God. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience of thought when your obedience is fulfilled. Do you look on things after their outward appearance? Because you don't know what's happening in the spirit. Don't look on it just from the outward appearance. Surround the situation with faith thoughts. Surround the situation with love thoughts. Surround that person. There may be somebody that just their calling in life is to make you miserable. Well, no, surround that person with love thoughts. Not retaliation and revengeance. And vengeance or anything like that. Just surround them with love thoughts. I like what Keith Moore said. He said, when you go home for Thanksgiving and you know when you go in there that Sister Doodad, you know, Cousin Flip-Flop is really, they're going to be after you again because you're a religious fanatic. And then they're going to get on to politics, but get full of turkey and everybody wants to talk politics. Half of them Democrat, half of them Republican, half of them don't know what they are. Now, he didn't say that. I said that. He said, you just brace yourself before you walk into, just brace yourself before you walk into Granny's house because you know what's going to happen at Thanksgiving. And Keith said, when you walk in the door, oh, it's so nice to see you. Oh, you look so good. You no. This is not Indigestion Alley here. Surround that whole place with love before you walk in there. Amen. Forgive everybody there before you ever get there. What about writing them little notes all year? What about praying for them every morning before you start your day? Particularly the ringleader. You know, whomever that is. Well, you just start the day. Lord, you love him. You love her. And I know some of the things that are causing them trouble. And I'm asking you to send laborers across their path with the word of their deliverance and to get them through the times that are so hard on them. And the pandemic's been hard on them. Hey, man, I'm telling you, it's Thanksgiving just right around the corner here, you know.
Yeah.
Something like another, next week? So prepare the place before you go. Now, if you have a family like ours, it is not that way at all. Amen. Praise God. Now, what is that called? Thanksgiving. Read the first chapter of the book of Romans. They did not acknowledge God. They were not thankful. Therefore, let's just look at it. Romans chapter 1. Look at that 21st verse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. So what's the answer to that? Develop a grateful heart. Be grateful. Just be grateful. In 2004, Sunday morning after Southwest Believers Convention, a disc in my back didn't rupture. It exploded. It knocked me in the floor of my shower, I could hardly move. Well, the first thing that happened, I was determined right then, I will not have surgery on my back. I'm not going to do that. So, what must I do? I began to praise God. Now, it took a little while because the pain was just horrible. But anyway, and of course, Dr. Colbert and Dr. Wheater went to work on me immediately. And thank God for Holy Ghost medical doctor and a Holy Ghost chiropractor, and you're in good hands. Good hands. And so they went to work on me with laser and, you know, and all that. And the pain. So I got two heating pads and took sashes out of house robes and stuff, and tied those heating pads to that left leg, turned the heat up on them just as high as I could get it. Just see which one's going to hurt the most. And went out in the backyard and shouting as loud as I could, glory to God, my right leg doesn't hurt. Glory to God, my hands don't hurt. Glory to God, my eyes don't hurt. Thank God for the trees. Thank God for the birds. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. I thank God. I thank God. Oh, glory. God, my fingers don't hurt. Thank you, Jesus. It's only one leg. And while I'm shouting, the pain would go away. Now, when I quit, it came back. I don't have any pain in my body. I don't have any pain in my body today. Amen. Glory to God. Now, that... It was a while coming. Praise and thanksgiving. I said praise and thanksgiving. I'm thinking about another situation in television, and this one person, and not on our staff or anything. It was another network and stuff, instead of just being irritated all the time, I just said, Lord, I tell you, I just love so-and-so, and I know you do too. And I just, you know, they're just so wonderful. They're just wonderful people. And every time I would think about that person and another two or three people that worked in there, because I knew everybody, but now listen. That's the way they chose to operate their network. If I don't like it, I should get off. Yes. The Lord hadn't given me release to leave that network. So I'm not going to sit around and think bad stuff about their staff. Right. That's the way they have chosen to do their business. Amen. That's the way they've chosen. Yes. So I'm not going to be critical about the way they chose to do their business. That's right. Now, if I don't want to do our business like that, then that becomes my business. Right. But you think good thoughts, and yes, love thoughts. Yes. You just love them and love, yes, them and love them and love them. And when the time came, because of the Victory Network and all that, And then the time came to, you know, more closely bind things together from with the Dish Channel and the, and Direct and all of our outlets. The time came for that separation. And so that separation was lovely. And we could write a lovely letter and get a lovely letter back. Glory to God. And I can think now and go back all of those years. I could have been critical all that time. It would not have done one thing to change them. It would have made me sick in my body. Because I would be having strife in my mind, my thinking, and the way I speak. Or someone would say, well, you just don't know what they did to me. Until you release it, they're still doing it. They've forgotten about it and gone on. Strife is a killer. If there's any one thing in the Bible that will make you sick and keep you sick, it's strife, contention. Our physical bodies, our brains, our heart, all of our organs were made by love. And we are wired up to respond to love, not strife and argument and combat all the time. And Dr. Avery Jackson is a neurosurgeon. He's on our board now at KCM. And you should hear him talk about it and what it does to the brain and how it scrambles. Caroline Leaf, another one that gets tell you right off what strife will do to your brain. It just scrambles the brain. And well, hey, the brain is where all of the nerves coming down through that brain stem and going to all of the rest of the body, and you get strife thoughts and words going down through all of those nerves, it will kill you young. So now, if there's someone in your life, some kind of strife thing, you know, just stop right now. Put a smile on your face. And just see that person's face. And say, Lord.
Lord.
Now that was weak. Just close your eyes and say, Lord,
Lord,
I surround them with your love.
With your love.
I see them through your eyes.
I see them through your eyes.
And right now while I pray, I forgive them.
I forgive them
completely.
Completely.
And totally.
And totally.
And I will never, touch that, with my thought life again.
Again.
I bring those thoughts, into captivity, according to the word, and in your love, Jesus, they are forgiven forever.
They are forgiven forever.
Glory to God.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
All right. Praise you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Now then, let's go to Matthew chapter 8, and beginning with the 14th verse. Well, no, let's back up. I just keep backing up and backing up. Oh, Jesus is the same. He is so easy. And that same Jesus is right here, right now, the Holy Spirit, his agent. And the angels are his healing agents. There was a man testified to us. He had really just believing God for his heart was just really bad. And he woke up suddenly in the night. And he said, there was a man there with his hands in my chest. And he said, when I woke up, he said, go on back to sleep. It's just me. And he said, I woke up the next morning, my heart's completely well. Now, you're familiar with Bishop David Oyedepo. And we've gone there every year for many years. He called me and he said, I'm going to be there in Fort Worth and I'd like to see you. I said, well, that's good. And he brought me a device, and I think we still have a picture of that. We can see it. Anyway, a young man in his congregation that a gunshot wound, accidental gunshot wound, destroyed his elbow. Well, they put in a new elbow. But ever since they'd put that in there, it was painful. It just didn't work right. There it is. You see that? Now, it's got the serial numbers on it. That's in my hangar office there at home. And that's David Oyedepo's hand. And that on the left is all, they put synthetic bone on that and put it so that the natural bone will adhere to it. And so he told him, he said, you've been working hard for me, and tonight I'm going to work for you. He woke up the next morning, and that device was laying there in the bed. I mean, that thing has the serial numbers on it, the serial number, the doctor's number, and the whole thing.
Woo. Glory, power.
Then later, Gloria and I met that young man. And I had the privilege of putting my, there he is right there. And of course, that's the good elbow, the new one. A real one. But now that doesn't happen in the middle of the night. You're laying there thinking bad stuff about somebody. No, that doesn't happen. You just go on and hurt. Now, I'll tell you one thing that is taught in that congregation is the love of God. I mean, it is just right up at the top of everything. Love and praise. He said this to me. Now listen, these are African people. They are extremely aware of covenant.
Yes.
There's covenant all around them. A lot of it's not good. There are people that get together and do all kinds of blood stuff trying to stop the work of God. I've had that come towards me in different places. Amen. But it doesn't work here.
Amen.
Now, a member of that church, they, even though they lived behind in a gated community, they came home from church one night and there was blood right out in front of their door. So they called the police. Well, the police already had this man in custody. But then this collaborated what they were saying. But listen to what this thief said. Now this is a member of Bishop's church, and they praise a lot.
Mm-hmm. Glory. Hallelujah.
Glory. He said, "I'll tell you." He said, "Just as I began to break into that house, somebody cut me." And he said, there wasn't anybody there. But he said, they cut me 2 or 3 times. I bled. They cut me. Well, angels have weapons. Woo, you better believe it.
Hallelujah.
And they cut him.
Glory.
Wouldn't let him in that house.
Glory. Hallelujah.
Back years and years and years ago, There was a young man broke into the church, not our church, but broke into the church and stole the recording equipment, the amplifier, the whole thing. And so we began to pray for the thief. And we began to pray for him. And we prayed, Lord, we ask you to forgive him and send angels across his path with the word of his deliverance and so forth. And we believe, we just love him. We'd like to have the opportunity to minister to him. And we just love him and love him and love him. Amen. You remember, Jerry, this happened to Grace Temple. This is where it happened about years ago. And finally, he called the police. He said, come out here and get this stuff out of my house. Come get this stuff out of my house. Well, you know what happened after that. They called the church. The church went down there and got him saved. It's what you do with love. I was preaching in that same church. Now, this is healing school, you understand? I was preaching in that same church on a Sunday morning. And I just hung back to pray out in the foyer of the church there. And just pray and there was a whole group of young people. And they just walked into the foyer of the church. And they didn't smell too good. And they were just kind of hanging back there in the foyer of the church. And then they went through the doors of the church. And there were a couple of women that had come in there and they said, wonder who is going to have to sit by them. Well, I heard that. I didn't paint. I just didn't say anything. I went on in and I preached. And I just preached faith. I preached what the Lord had already given. And just on the love of God and faith works by love. And then I said, you know what? We have some young people in the congregation this morning. I don't know their background, but they're here. And they need a place to where they can clean up. And they were in an old Volkswagen van. And they need a place where they can get a hot meal. And people said, hey, I'll take a couple of them home with me. Come on, kids, you just go home with us. You just go home with us. And some of them were still kind of, you know, they were still out in the etheric somewhere on a trip. And but then during the service that Sunday night, and I continued with what I preached that morning, one of those young men stood up right in the middle of what I was saying, and he said, and he was one of them that was really spaced out when he got there that morning. And he said, he just stood up and he said, I would like to announce that Jesus Christ is now my Savior. Thank you.
Glory! Hallelujah! Woo! Glory!
And all of them smelled quite nice, thank you.
Glory!
They were just in that old van. I never did find out how they came to know why they came to Grace Temple. I don't know. But God knew.
Glory to God.
And the Lord knew that if they came in there, that church full of lovely people,
glory,
would take care of them.
Amen.
And all of them left there with food. They left there clean. They left there with new clothes.
Glory.
And all of them left with Jesus Christ,
glory,
as their Lord and Savior. Amen. Love thoughts. Love actions.
Jesus, Jesus.
Praise God.
Glory.
Now, what about the children of the people that ministered to those young people? I don't know. But that is a marvelous seed to sow. And this Thanksgiving, be thinking about where you can sow some seed like that.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
It works. And there's healing in it.
Yes.
And I've noticed it in the last 10 or 15 minutes in this room. I've noticed a lightness.
Glory.
And a joy.
Hallelujah.
And it's just lifted off of the house. Why? The spirit of grief has vacated this place. And the spirit of healing. The spirit of healing has settled on this congregation. And now there's truly the healer is in the house. Now, Gloria and I walked into a church congregation one Sunday morning. And just as the pastor said, isn't it wonderful to be in the house of God? And Gloria said, isn't it wonderful to be the house of God? I don't know how many houses there are here this morning, but there's a lot of houses of the Spirit all over this room and all over in the countries that are watching online. Glory to God. You are and I am the tabernacle of the Spirit of the living God. He has pitched his tent right here. The healer is living on the inside of us right now. Glory to God. Somebody, blood disease got healed just as I said that. Leukemia, glory to God. All high blood pressure, thank you. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Any kind of contamination of blood, something wrong with your arteries, something wrong with your veins. Varicose veins are being healed right now. Glory to God.
Yes.
You don't have any business with that.
Glory.
No. The scripture says right there in 1 John, as he is, so are we in this world. Well, he doesn't have varicose veins. He doesn't have leukemia. Glory to God. Yes. Hallelujah. Say that Jesus bore my leukemia. Therefore, I don't have it. Would you like to hear a little story about that?
Yes.
Good. This woman and her daughter came to Billy Burke's service. And the mother had leukemia. He laid hands on her. She fell out under the power. Went home. Went to bed. Woke up the next morning. And her bed was covered in blood. Well, that's a little bit discerning, you know. And so she said, her daughter said, we better go on to the doctor. She said, well, I feel fine. No. Well, okay. But she said, bring your robe. So she dressed and took this robe. And they went to her doctor that had been treating her for leukemia. And she said, now, When mother woke up this morning, her bed was full of blood. Well, of course, the doctor was concerned about it. But then the daughter told the doctor what had happened the night before, that hands had been laid on her. So she said, check that blood. He did. It was full of leukemia. Then he checked her blood and is totally clear. Well, who is it that's no respecter of persons here? What he's done for others, he'll do for you. Now, why do I say that? Because the moment Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, you were healed. Go to the 13th chapter of the book of Luke.
Glory.
I'll come back there to Matthew 8. But I want you to see this in Luke chapter 13. Verse 11, behold, okay, look. There was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity. You see who did this? A spirit of infirmity, 18 years, and was bowed together, and could in no wise lift up herself. When Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. The ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them therefore come and be healed, not on the Sabbath day. And the Lord answered and said, you hypocrite, is not each one of you on the Sabbath day loose his ox or his donkey from the stall and lead him away to watering? Ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? Now, here's what I want you to see. She's the daughter of Abraham. The moment that God made covenant with Abraham, that woman was loosed. But nobody told her about it. Now, where was the guy? Let's look at it again. The ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because Jesus healed on the Sabbath and said unto the people, 6 days in which men ought to work. Well, where have you been for 18 years, Doc? Now, she was bound up like an animal. The leader of the synagogue thought more of a donkey than he did that woman.
Lord help us.
Not Jesus. It didn't make any difference what day of the week it was. The minute he saw her, he said, come here. He didn't preach first. The moment he saw her, he said, come here.
Hallelujah.
Now, who is it that has arthritis in your back online? You have to, Hey, Jesus said, come here, baby.
All
right. Okay. Oh!
Yeah!
Backs are being healed right now. Someone right below the shoulder here that's just been just painful and stiff and stuck. Glory to God. Just whip that arm up there. Hallelujah. Do something you couldn't do because the healer's in the house. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Whoa. Thank you, Jesus. Eyes are being healed. Eyes. I prayed and sought God. Let's go to the 4th chapter of Luke and just sought the Lord over this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to captives and recovering of sight. I said, Lord, I want to preach that. I want to preach that recovering of sight. I desire that in this ministry. I desire it. And nothing. I mean, you know, of course I can preach it just because Jesus said it, and I do and did. But I just held that before the Lord. I said, I like that. And that needs to come in this ministry. And occasionally there would be this and that. And I've had a lot of people. Now, let me tell you this. You're believing for your eyesight. Don't throw your glasses away. Particularly if your driver's license says you have to have them. You don't become a lawbreaker. No. Let me tell you how to do that. May I borrow your...
Yes, sir. You can, Brother Copeland.
I don't need them, but I'll... You put your glasses right there by your bed. And when you wake up in the morning, Lord, my eyes are healed. Glory to God. Because that's your ministry. Sight to the blind. I'm not blind, but I need some help here.
Thank you.
I thank you that my eyes are healed.
Lord, I receive.
Thank you that my eyes are healed.
Amen.
Thank you that my eyes are healed.
I receive it.
Thank you that my eyes are healed.
My eyes are healed.
And every time you meet somebody, I just want to thank God. My eyes are healed.
My eyes are
healed. My eyes are healed.
My eyes are healed.
My eyes are healed.
Thank you, Lord. My eyes are healed.
There was a woman.
Thank you, Lord.
That she, as a young child, her eyes were crossed.
Thank you, Lord.
And so she wore these very thick glasses so that she could see. And she had to do that when right before she'd get up, even during the night. If she got up, she had to put her glasses on. And so, and Brother Hagin laid his hands on her, and she took her glasses off. And she said, I'm running up on the curbs and everything else. So she said, I finally had to put my glasses back on. And so he told her what I just demonstrated there.
Thank you, Lord.
And so then there were, he and Aretha had been away from her. I think it's something like, I believe it was over a year, 18 months or so. Then they saw her later and she was not wearing glasses at all. And they asked her about it. She said, I did what you said religiously. I did it. Day in, day out, day in, day out. I did it for 6 months. No, she said, I did it for 3 months. I couldn't tell any difference. I did it for 6 months. I couldn't tell any difference. But right there at the end of 9 months, suddenly my eyes were perfect. What if she had quit in 8 months? She would have continued to wear glasses. Well, I mean, there's nothing wrong with wearing glasses. I have hearing aids. You have seeing aids. Now, I foul my ears up with guns and loud airplanes and things like that. And they didn't come out with a product that would actually protect your ears until the Bose Corporation invented noise-canceling headsets.
Yes.
Had we had that back when I started, I wouldn't have these in my ear. But I messed them up with guns as much as anything else. And I remember the day I was at the prayer cabin. I was about to go deer hunting that morning. And so I sighted in my rifle. And my ears rang, but in times past, it would go away. And that day, it didn't go away. And then, finally, I got tired of reading lips and got these hearing aids. Amen. And the time will come when I don't need them. Because my daughter, Kelly, laid her hands on me. And so I continually confess that.
Yes.
Now, I will tell you this. The first time I wore them to preach, I was preaching on the Navajo Reservation. And of course, Brother Weeder had my Bible case and had my phone in there. And we just put it on, the ringer on silent. And while I was preaching, my phone rang in my ears. Because I can talk on the telephone through these hearing aids.
Wow.
I didn't even know that when they put them in there. And my phone is ringing while I was preaching. And I got so tickled, I thought, this gives a new meaning to ringing in the ears. But a lot of people have had their ears healed in these healing schools under Gloria, under me, under Brother Hagin. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. It'll work. Amen. Because 2,100 years ago, my Lord Jesus bore bad hearing, ruptured eardrums, inflammation and infection of the ears in his own body on the tree. Glory to God that we would have good hearing. Those that have any need of this, just put your hands over your ears and say this: I'm a believer. Therefore, I lay my hands on my ears, and I fully expect my ears to recover. Now. So in the name of Jesus, I hear well. I hear good. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Well, give the Lord another praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now go back to the book of Matthew. Now, praise God. In the 14th verse, in the 13th verse, Jesus said unto the centurion, go your way, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. And what was the centurion's name? Cornelius. Good, you remember that. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her. Now, let's deal with fever. That's one of the symptoms of the flu. But now, the physician, Luke, said it was a great fever. So I'm thinking more in the line of typhoid, a killer. Amen. And it said he rebuked the fever. Well, can fevers hear?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Can leprosy hear?
Yes.
Can trees hear?
Yes.
I asked that fig tree.
Glory to God.
Then your body can hear?
Yes.
It can hear you.
Yes.
Here's another thing that I have learned over the years, that our words resonate down through every nerve in the body.
Yes.
The nerves of the body, that's the body's electrical system. That's the body's electrical system. And you know what it can do? You scoot across a carpet and touch somebody and just give them a good shock. Why? Because your body is capable of electricity. Now, oh, I love to tell this. I had a little thing right there about the size of a grain of rice. And I just noticed it. And it was white. It got where it itched a little bit, and I scratched it, and when I did, man, it puffed up there and got sore. So I thought, well, maybe I better have that looked at. And I went to the doctor, and lovely man. And I have to now why do I make it a point when someone is a person of color? If someone is a black person, particularly, why do I make a point of that? Well, in the first place, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me many, many, many years ago, and he said, a great part of your ministry is to the black community. And when I have a good report, I am purposely bringing it. And this man, lovely man. And when I walked in there, I don't know. He's just my kind. I mean, I said, I'm Kenneth Copeland. Oh, yeah, Brother Copeland. He said, my grandmother and granddaddy said they've been your partners for years. And I thought, oh, yeah, I'm in the right place. And he looked at, and this man is one of the top in his field. He looked at that. Yeah, he said, we'll take a look at it. But he said, I can pretty well tell you it's malignant. I said, okay. So then, and he did, and then he came back, yeah, that it was cancer, skin cancer. Well, I didn't think much about it. The only thing I thought was James 5. That's the first thing that came across my mind. Let them call on the elders of the church. They'll pray over and anoint them with oil. Well, let's look at it. I'm coming back to Matthew 8. James 5. Now, don't start with James 5. Start with James 1. It starts off in faith. And it's a book of corrections. He goes through all of these different corrections and finally gets down to the place where you're ready to be healed. Same thing as 1 Peter chapter 2. Don't start with the 24th verse. Start with the first verse. There's 23 verses ahead of that. And all of them are corrections. Make the corrections and then you qualify. You're ready for healing. That's true anywhere in the Bible. So, and I went to my pastor, Pastor George and Terry. They were there in our kitchen. And John was away and Kelly was away. And they were there on the phone. Gloria was there and her friend Bebe was there. And so I stuck my hand out there. Just thrilled to prove one more time that the faith works. Glory to God. And so Pastor George took that oil and he prayed and he read James 5. Is any merry? Now, but above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea and your nay be nay, lest you fall into condemnation. Is there any among you afflicted? See, he's still correcting right up to the last moment. Afflicted, let him pray. Any merry, let him sing psalms. Is there any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, which I did. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith. Faith in what? Faith in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. It's the same word as healed. Healed, saved. It's all the same word throughout the New Testament. And the Lord shall raise him up. And if he've committed any sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So, here I am. I held my hand out there. And pastor went through all of those things. And he took that oil and he just touched that. And an electrical shock went through me. I mean, it's like suddenly I just plugged into something. And I went, and I thought, that did it. That's over. Well, then I had to go to another specialist. And they said, now when you, you know, you get here and Dr. So-and-so is going to go through and be prepared to stay, you know, 30 minutes, 1, 2, 3 hours, because here's what he's going to do. He is going to shave the tissue there and then he's going to check it, and he will keep shaving little bits there until all of the malignancy is gone. Okay. So they came in there and they did their thing, you know. And about 30 minutes later, they came back in there and said, well, Mr. Copeland, there's no more cancer cells in there. And I thought, well, I could have told you that. So I'm telling you right now, cancers are being healed all over this place, all over that place, praise God. And if somebody gives you a report of cancer, don't get upset about it. Amen. That's one of the worst things you can do is say, oh no, I'm going to die. Get over into that place where you don't care. Go to 1 Peter 5. You're right there. Just go over to the 5th chapter. But now, don't start with the 5th chapter. Start with 1 Peter 1:1. Verse 4, when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory. Start read that before you start talking about your cares and worries. Got to get to thinking about the crown of glory. That fade is not away. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves to the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. These are all instructions. Satisfy all of these things. Be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. He wants us to be exalted. He just doesn't want us exalting ourselves. He wants you just to humble yourself before him and then let him exalt you over sickness, over disease, over poverty, and all the things that he provided on that cross and in his resurrection. Because we've been lifted up and made to sit with him in heavenly places. Far above, right? All right, so here you are. We're going to take care of all the worries in your life. We're going to take care right now of worrying about your kin folks, worrying about your husband, worrying about your wife, worrying about this, worried about this, worried about your business, worried about what's going to happen, worried about what's already happened. Well, what are you worried about? What's already happened for? Now, you know, flying airplanes for 60 years, you learn certain things. And you're 99% of the time at altitude, it's going to be smooth. And the further you get away from the earth, the earth is a heat radiator. The sun does not heat the air. It heats the earth and the earth heats the air. And so you get down close to the earth, there's a lot of heat coming up off of it, so the air is bumpy. It's got waves in it. And you hit those waves, the airplane flies on air the way a boat sails on water. The thing of it is, you can see the water and you can see when it's rough. But those wings are in the air. Now, when there's visible moisture, unless it's real smooth clouds, if the clouds got any kind of a little cauliflower look to it at all, as the wings pass through that, they're going to bounce a little bit. What am I going to do now? Well, you know what you're going to do? You're going to sit there and shut up. You can't open the door. You're in there, and the airplane knows more about flying than you do. It was built to fly. It knows how to fly. I learned that from one of my first instructors. I had a death grip on that yoke. He said, Kenneth, let go. Let me tell you an even better story. I was on the 700 Club one day, and it was in summertime. And so Pat said, he started talking about the airplane that he had and the way he was flying it and so forth. And I said, well, I've got time. If you do, let's just go fly. Okay, yeah, would you do that? I said, well, sure. So we got in that airplane, and I was sitting over there in the right seat. And he did all the flying. He took off. And we flew out away from the area there and got out, you know, out of everybody else's airspace. And, I mean, he had a grip on that yoke. I said, sir, turn the yoke loose. I said, you can fly it with your feet on the rudders. I said, turn it loose. I said, if it starts upside down, I have one over here. Or something like that, or whatever. Now, this is life. Because I had someone else teach me. I said, all right. And that the airplane was giving it this there. It was a little rough. And this is an August afternoon. And, you know, it had done this kind of thing. I said, I'm right behind you here. Okay, yeah, all right. I said, now, take your hands off the yoke. Okay. I said, now, take your feet off of the rudders. He did. And I took my feet off the rudders. I said, you see my feet are not on the rudder pedals? Yeah. I said, now watch this. And he didn't like that when I took my hands off the yoke. And now, of course, I had the airplane trimmed out right. I didn't want to say that. But anyway, those of you that don't know what that means, forget about it. I don't have time to tell you. But that little old airplane bounced around there and it just settled down. I said, Pat Robertson, you're the problem, not the airplane. The airplane knows how to fly. Now, the trim just simply means you can trim up the controls and they'll stay in one place. You could trim the nose up like that and just let it alone. And it'll climb for a while, but it will not stall. It won't do it. You have to stall an airplane yourself. The airplane is built not to do that. And it just comes up there, and it goes back down, and it comes back up there, and it goes back down, and comes back up there. And what if the engine quits? It'll just start this, and it'll just start a glide, and you're going to land. No use getting all upset about it, because you don't have a parachute, so just sit there. But you're the boss. You fly it. You fly that thing right down to the wing bolts. You don't ever turn loose of it. You don't ever give up on it. That you are the boss of that airplane and you cause it to do what it's supposed to do. But it knows how to fly just as well as you do. You just happen to be the boss. And God knows this life better than you do and better than I do. But you have to be the one to tell your mind what to think. You have to tell your mouth what to say. You have to tell your body what to feel and what not to feel. And you have to tell fear to take a hike. And tell sickness and disease to just get out. I deny your right to live in my body. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now let's go to Matthew chapter 8. I have this in my bathroom, scotch taped to the mirror in my bathroom. This is every day. When Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid sick of a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her. She arose and ministered unto them. What'd she do? Now, it's evening time on the Sabbath. He just came from synagogue where he delivered a man. She just got up and fixed supper. I can hardly wait to find out what her name is. And what his wife's name is. And the woman with the issue of blood. I wish the Lord had put, you know, Susie had an issue of blood. But he didn't see fit to do that. Because had he done that, you wouldn't put your name in there. When evening was come, many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. If he bore it, we don't have any business with it. Glory to God. Let's just give the Lord praise. Give him praise and honor and thanksgiving. Now there's some things here that I want to touch on. Let's go to 1 Peter. Chapter 2. Are you there? Oh, that's 2 Peter. That won't work. Verse 25 of the first chapter. But the word of the Lord endures forever. Oh, praise God. Say it. The word of the Lord endures forever. He sent his word and he healed them. Glory to God. The word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Wherefore, laying aside all malice. So say it. I lay aside all malice. And all guile. Guile is just simply deceit. Speaking deceitful things and having a deceitful attitude about yourself. And hypocrisies. Now, what did Jesus say? What did he call the leaders of the synagogues and the Pharisees and so forth? Hypocrites. Because they were preaching one thing and doing another. What is a hypocrite? Well, somebody says, you're a hypocrite. And I've had this in one some different forms or another. What do you mean I'm a hypocrite? Well, you say you're healing, it's obvious you're not. Now, wait a minute. If I said I was healed because I feel healed. No. I'd have to say I'm sick. Now, wait a minute. I believe the Bible. If I said I'm sick because I feel sick, and then I believe 1 Peter 2:24, I'm the hypocrite. Right. I had a man come up before me in a prayer line one time. Excuse me. He walked up there in front of me, and he was like this when he got up, and I said, what is it? He said, well, I got this thing that out here. I started to lay hands on him, but the word of the Lord came up on the inside of me. So I said, are you healed? Well, no. No, I got this thing right here. I said, the Bible says, by his stripes you were healed. I know it says that. Well, are you healed? No. I told you. And I could see, he's getting upset. That's good. Let him just get upset. And because of that, that's the reason the Lord brought this out of him. Because he's already upset. Like one woman said, Brother Hagin, you've got me confused. He said, no, lady, you were confused before I got here. And I just shined the light on it. He said, you don't go up in the attic and take your light and say, look at the dust this light caused. Well, he was confused. And I said it. I went through the whole 1 Peter 2:24 says, by his stripes you were healed. Are you healed? No, I got this thing right here. And then the Lord just said it out of me. I said, all right, If I agree with you, you're going to stay sick or whatever that thing is. If you'll agree with me, you'll receive your healing.
Yes.
And the light came on. Yeah. Yeah. He said, put your hands on me. And I put my hands on him and the power of God just knocked him backwards. But there, for a while, he was not ready to receive. And had I just gone ahead and laid hands on him, there wouldn't a thing in the world happen. He had gone away, you know, and said, well, Copeland hadn't got it. Well, Copeland never did have it in the first place. I'm not the healer. Like I said, I just work here, you know. I love it, but what I do, but there was no faith connection there. But once he saw that, and listen, he got into a place of agreement.
Yes.
Agreement with the Bible. He agreed with the Spirit of God through the Apostle Peter. He agreed. So Jesus said, any two of you on earth shall agree as touching anything they shall have asked, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. What? To carry out the agreement by his Spirit.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
Now you can get healed with that if you have somebody to agree with you. Not hope, agree. What would it be like if, you know, we have a contract with Hilton Memorial Chapel for the time that we're having these meetings here. And so, you know, say I was the contract signer. I'm not, but just say that I was. And because that's not my business to do that. But they say, well, now, Brother Copeland, here's, you know, you're going to be here on Thursday, through Saturday. Yeah, that's right. And you will, your ministry will have this paid before you get here, right? Well, I sure do hope so. Well, when you get it, you call us. There's no agreement there. Now, and in this case, I don't sign a faith check. I did my believing before. I've seen some of those faith checks. That's a lie. It's forgery. Well, I'm just going to go ahead and write the check and God will make it good. Write the check and keep it in the drawer till he makes it good. That's the way Gloria and I got out of debt. We wrote checks for everything we owed and put them in the little desk there in Tulsa, just this little old drawer. We filled out those checks and put them in there and we believed God. And as money came, we mailed that one and we mailed this one. And supernatural stuff started happening. There was a $2,000 deal in my dad's bank that they had loaned me. And we got to a place when we had to have a car. But I had called Mr. McCandless. And I said, Mr. McCandless, that $2,000. And I said, now, I'm going to tell you something now. I said, I'm in full-time ministry now. I'm at Oral Roberts University. And I need a car. But that, and I said, I already have that check made out. And it's the moment I have $2,000, I'm going to send it to you. He laughed. And I thought, what's the matter with him? Now, I know, I already knew that check was in his desk, that note was in his desk drawer because it was bad paper. He said, Kenneth, somebody came in here and paid that. Well, I suspected it was my dad, but I said, who? No, he said, I'm sworn to secrecy. He said, they came in here and paid that and said, you give Jesus the credit for it. Now, I know Mr. McCandless well enough. Had it been my dad, he would have told me. Somebody else did that. I finally got $160 to buy a new suit. that the britches won't split. I had the $60. I knew right where it was. Jack Howard's Clothiers. I'd seen that suit, and he and my dad were good friends, and I knew right where that suit was, and I had a nice 160, and I went in there, and Mr. Howard did the thing, and I got out of the alteration room and put my junk back on and walked out there, and I just laid my $160, $160 suit. Yeah. He said, "Kenneth, while you were in the alterations, a man came in here and paid for your suit." Oh, wow. I said, "Who?" He said, "He just said Jesus did it." Now, Jack Howard was a Jew. And he knew good and well that my dad's a Christian. And he would talk to me. Jack would talk to me about Jesus. And he would tell me how the difference between a Jew in the clothing business and a Gentile in the clothing business. Very interesting. Tell you about that sometime. And we need to have a seminar on all of this. And we will sometime. Anyway, that kind of thing started happening. God was way ahead of Joy and me. There were others that we paid. So Mr. McCandless said, "Have you found a car?" I said, "Yes, sir. I found it. It's a nice Buick, and it's only got about 14,000 miles on it." "Well," he said, "just go over there and write him a check. I'll cover it." We had already believed God to be out of debt. Ben McCandless was the last one. Walked into his office. Mr. McCandless was just a gorgeous Christian banker. Oh, the little neighborhood banks, I wish they were back again. And where you know everybody in there, and all them big and heartless conglomerates bought everybody up. Well, they're not all that heartless, but, well, you know what I'm talking about. Anyway, I would watch my dad fill out, make his deposits, and he would put his money in the bank, and he would put God's money in his tithe account. He would separate it when he made his deposits. That's Jesus' money. Amen. So, anyway, I went in to see Mr. McCandless. The last $50, and it was on that car, way ahead of time. And I walked in there, made the point, left Tulsa, came down to see him, and pay that last debt. I said, "Mr. McCandless, I'll tell you folks, I was so excited. There's healing in being out of debt. Nobody can bug you anymore. But you have to do those righteous things. If you can't make that payment, you call somebody. And you call them ahead of time. And you tell them, I'm very aware of this. I am a Christian, as you know, and I pay my debts. And I'm on my way to getting out of debt. And I don't have but $20, but I'm going to send it to you. You can just put the $20 on there. Put something on there. Just call them and say, right now, I don't have anything." "Well, Brother Copeland, that's the reason I don't become a partner, because sometimes I may not have it." "Well, now that may be the reason why you're having trouble at the bank." Should a poor man tithe? Yes. Absolutely. First. Thank you, Jesus. I learned back there when we didn't have anything. I went into one meeting and had a financially tough time getting there. But I already knew what Gloria and I were believing, and I already knew what we were sowing for. So when I got to the church, I took all the money that I had
left, which was a tithe on what I was believing for, and I put that in that church first. And by the end of the 3 weeks, it was the best meeting financially we had ever had, and it started out with three people in the meeting because of the flu. But they didn't shut down Beaumont, Texas. Whole high school football teams weren't there, but they didn't shut down the city. They just dealt with it. Praise God. I'm not being critical. I'm just showing you I am being critical because there are some things about this deal was not handled right in the beginning and let it get out of hand. And that's the reason we have masks on our face today, is because it got out of hand and became a worldwide killer. It was a weapon and it did exactly what it was designed to do. And I don't say this kind of thing just because I make it up. I keep up with it. Anyway, so what do you have to do? You have to forgive the people that did it in the first place. And then do things right. What do we do? We do what's right according to the Word. Then we do it because it's right. Then we do it right. If you don't, this is my dad. If you don't have time to do it right the first time, when are you ever going to have time to do it again? Whatever it is, take the time to do it correctly. Make your word good. If you tell somebody you're going to be there at 3:00, don't be there at 4:20. Well, you know, I just had it. No, just when you show up, say, forgive me for lying. I should have called you. I could have been here and I didn't. Amen. All of this has to do with your healing. All of this has to do. And let me show you something now. Glory to God. So that was fulfilled. Now we're here in 1 Peter, and we go down through all of those corrections and so forth. If so be you've tasted the Lord is gracious, and so forth and so on. You're a lively stone. You're built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, that he that believeth on him should not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he's precious. Hey, do you believe?
Yes.
Well, that's part of it. He's precious. But unto them which are disobedient. Now, wait a minute. If you've been disobedient to the word here lately, but just stop and say, well, Lord, I just repent of that. No, you're precious to me. You told me to lose 20 pounds. And though glory be to God, as far as I'm concerned, it is gone now. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which was the builders disallowed, the same is made in the head of the corner, a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient. Don't stumble at the word of God. Abraham stumbled not at the word of God, giving God glory, being fully persuaded he's able to do what he said he'd do. But you, say, I am a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Peculiar there should be translated special. I am special that I should show forth the praises of him who hath called me out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past you were not a people, but are now the people of God. Say, I am in the family of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. I have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I am the dearly beloved. Oh, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust. In the name of Jesus,
in the name of Jesus,
I abstain from fleshly lust.
I abstain from fleshly
now, people
lust.
Immediately think about sex. Well, there's a lot of fleshly lust that don't have a thing in the world to do with sex. There's fleshly lust on Twinkies. A great big chocolate milkshake right before bed. Yeah, you better quit that. Hey, I have been there, and I know what I'm talking about. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I want to go back a moment. I talked about the funeral last night. Grieving over the death, not departure, death, not sleep, death of a loved one. I had the word of the Lord come to me about this, and he said, while the people are there, and they say, oh, we're so sorry you lost him. And so she weeps and she weeps. He said, it doesn't feel bad. It feels good. That cry. He said, it is the next thing to sexual satisfaction because it is in the emotional realm. And it just feels, you're just weeping and you don't have to try to weep. You just weep and you just weep until you've cried and you've dried up and dried out. And the Lord said, now when all the potato salad's gone and all the people have cleaned up all the dishes and they're all gone away, and now that dear soul is left there in the dark and she can't cry anymore.
Wow.
But there's joy in the morning. And I started to tell you this last night, and the Lord cut me away from it. I walked up to this close friend of ours. Her husband had gone early. And I just walked up to her with a smile on my face back in the back room there of the church where he was pastor. And I just walked up to her with a smile on my face. And I used the word griefs and sorrows. In Isaiah 53, he bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. The Hebrew words were sickness and pains. But listen, grief and sorrow is pain. That's the reason it was translated like that. I just walked up to her and put my hands on her, and I yelled at the top of my voice, you spirit of fear and grief, I break your power with the blood and the name of Jesus. Now you let my sister go right now. And she smiled. She and I read on into the 54th chapter of Isaiah. Despise your widowhood no more. For your father is your husband.
Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Glory. Yes.
And she smiled all the way through the service. I've had that happen more than once.
Amen.
One, and I'm almost going to close with this one. I do have one more thing I want to show you. But
come on, teach, teach. Glory to God.
She said, Brother Copeland, now, I saw that in the scripture. She'd been with her for quite a while. And she said, my husband went off and left me. Oh, well, she said, he really didn't. He just passed over. But he always fixed everything. And she said, the commode just started acting up. And I said, now, Jesus, you're the husband of this house now. and I don't know the first thing about fixing that toilet. So fix it. She said that thing went gloop, 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 gloop. And she said, it has worked perfectly ever since. Shout amen, somebody. Glory be to God. Now then, oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Give the Lord a praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, healer. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Proverbs chapter 3 in the Classic Amplified. Don't even read it. Just listen to me. My son, my daughter, forget not my law or teaching. Now listen. Our commandment is the commandment of love. Let your heart keep my commandments. You just get a heart to keep that commandment. I'm going to love everybody. I'm going to love everything. I'm just a lover, not a doubter, not a striver. For length of days and years of a life worth living, and tranquility inward and outward, continuing through old age till death, these shall they add to you. Amen. Days of a life worth living. And the 91st Psalm, with long life he'll satisfy you. Maybe we get into that tonight. One of the things that is the a rule of Bible study. We know Moses wrote the 90th Psalm, but there's no title on the 91st. So you continue then, and those two Psalms fit together. He was lamenting and crying out and lamenting because the people were dying at 70 and 80 years. That's never been considered the lifespan of human beings. But then you come right on into the 91st Psalm. You start dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. The Most High God. This is the soldier's song. And it starts off with the very fundamentals of faith. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge. He is my fortress. He is my God. And in Him will I trust. And surely He will deliver me. We have to say it first. Very, very close friend and partner, Colonel Keith Kerber, pastors in Alaska. Army Ranger. How'd you like to have an Army Ranger for your pastor? Hey, he's just as mean on the devil. Well, Gloria and I were there. And he told me that he was about to be deployed. And so we laid hands on him and on Nola. And I brought up the 91st Psalm to him. And I said, now you're the commander. I had read this in other places and experienced it and so forth. I said, you're the commander. And he was taking over a very high casualty unit. Very high, unusually high. And I said, you're the commander, and you command every man in that whole command to commit to memory the 91st Psalm. so that you walk up to one and say verse 4, and he better repeat verse 4. And I said, you get down there at that 16th verse, with long life he'll satisfy you. With long life he'll satisfy me. 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 He said, I'll do it. And he did. The first day he got there, somebody got killed. And that was the last one. Amen. The last, no, nobody got wounded.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Until, and I said, when you get home, you call me. Well, I didn't know it was going to be 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. But I mean, I got a call. Hey, I said, Keith, tell me about it. And he told me, not a man, not a one, but every one of them knew that 91st Psalm, and they began to believe it, and they began to stand on it, and you can do the same thing, glory to God, and with long life, he'll satisfy you. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah, glory to God, hallelujah. Amen. But he said, Kenneth, now it's a funny thing. He said, when I got back, he said, not near as many, but he said, some of them started, in the new command. He said, why is that? And I said, now, Keith, the thing of it is, some of those guys believed that. Some of them did it because you told them to, and they had to, and then they quit. Every one of them could have stayed alive if they'd have just had sense enough to get on that 91st Psalm and stay there. I believe in war. Because in time of, in a course of human events, when ungodly, bad, mean, oppressive people push things to where local law enforcement, God bless them, can't handle it, that's when the Prince of Peace becomes the Lord of War. Then the soldier's promise is in the book of Numbers. You go to war armed before the Lord, not hating the enemy. You go armed before the Lord. And I'm paraphrasing now, but you take care of business. You will return.
Yes.
Oh, you will return.
Yes.
That's right. Amen.
And you will be guiltless before the Lord and before the people. That's the answer to PTSD right there. And a very good friend of mine, Mac Gober, he's in heaven right now. Just a few days ago, I married his oldest son and his beautiful little bride. And I was kind of backing away from doing many more marriages, because that's the pastor's job. But anyway, when they called and the Lord said, you go do that. Oh, okay. Yeah. I found out that his little bride, when she was 5 years old, she said, I'm going to marry a preacher and Kenneth Copeland is going to do the wedding. Now, don't you start saying that. Because they're like family anyway, because Mac and Sandy are so close to me. They're like my kids. And I found that out. I couldn't get out of it if I tried. She said it. She's 5 years old. Glory to God. Aren't you glad Jesus is Lord and not somebody else? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Would you stand up, please? Thank you, Lord. 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 Guys, could I get someone to move that podium up here for me, please? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Thank you, Lord Jesus. 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 Now then, listen to me. If you believe this gospel that I have preached to you this morning, and you're ready to receive the power of God unto salvation for your spirit, your mind, or body, and you're already standing on your feet, if you can't stand up on the inside. Glory. I take authority over all sickness, over all disease, over all devils. Now you say this, the gospel that I have heard is the power of God unto my salvation. I confess Jesus Christ as Lord over my life. Lord over my spirit. Lord over my soul. And Lord over my body. I receive the power of God to make me sound, whole, delivered, saved, healed. Now, I act on the Word of God. I receive the power of God. Sickness, disease, and pain, I resist you in the name of Jesus. Sickness, weakness, and pain, you are not the will of God for me. I enforce the Word of God on you. I will not tolerate you in my life. Leave my presence. I will never allow you back. My days of sickness and disease are over. I am the saved.
I am the healed.
The power of sickness has been forever broken over my life. Jesus bore my sickness, weakness, and pain. I am forever free. Sickness shall no longer lord it over me. Sin shall no longer lord it over me. I have been redeemed from the curse of the law. I proclaim my freedom in Jesus' name. Today, the gospel is the power of God unto my salvation. I receive the gospel. I act on the gospel. I am made whole in Jesus' name. Act, praise, move, see, hear, do something. Get into action. Straighten up. Be delivered. Be free. Be sound. I rebuke every kind of perversion, every kind of perversion in your life. I rebuke the sin of pornography over your life. I rebuke any kind of homosexuality, any kind of lesbianism. I've already rebuked blood diseases, glory to God, stomach diseases, liver diseases. It's rebuked in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. I rebuke arthritis and sore backs. Glory to God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I'm 85 years old. What's your excuse? Thank you, Lord. Knees are healed. Ankles are healed. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Women, just check your breast area. A lump in your breast is gone. It's gone. I mean, it's gone. Glory to God. Glory to God. Areas of the throat, glory to God, are being healed right now. Heart trouble is being healed. Glory to God. The aisles are open. You need to run. Keep your mask on, but run. Glory to God. 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 Glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, glory, 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 I said. Glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to Jesus. Glory be to God. There's healing all over this place. There's healing all over the world. All those of you that are in other nations watching right now, I mean, we need to hear your testimony. Thank you, Jesus. Testimonies are so important. The woman with the issue of blood, she told it. She told how long she'd been sick. She told about all the doctors. She told the fact that she spent all that she had. But now it's obvious she had forgiven all the doctors, because faith won't work in an unforgiving heart. Amen?
Amen.
Glory be to God. But she kept saying it. If I but touch the hem of his garment. I could put it like this. If I could just touch the hem of that prayer shawl, I will be made whole. I will be healed. And she crawled out there in that crowd. She was fearful. Read 5th chapter of the book of Leviticus and you can see why. She could have been stoned because she was unclean and in public. But she'd heard of Jesus. What'd she hear? She heard what it preached. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He preached that everywhere he went. Well, this was right there in Capernaum. He just came home from across the lake over there where he was sit, that man from Gadara. We'll talk about him tonight. Thank you, Jesus. And then she did what she said. She touched it, and immediately the blood stopped. And then she felt in her body she was healed. But she believed it before she felt it. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" She told him the story. And he said, "Daughter, your faith has made you whole. Daughter, your faith made you whole of that lump in your breast this morning. Mister, your faith made you whole in your knees. Your faith made you whole in your ears. Glory be to God. Your eyes are healed." Anybody have any trouble with your eyes? Do this. Do just exactly what I do now. Are you looking at me?
Glory!
Now hold it. Hold it. Hold it. Hold your eyes. Hold your hand there. And say this, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I receive the complete healing of my eyes.
I receive complete healing of my eyes.
Double vision.
Double vision.
You're no longer there.
You're no longer there.
I receive
the healing power of God.
By faith.
By faith.
And I say it by faith.
And I say it by faith.
My faith has made me whole. I can see. In the name of Jesus,
by faith,
in the name,
by faith,
in the word,
by faith,
in his blood,
I now can see.
Thank you, Lord, very much. And take your hands off and look. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. And when you go to bed tonight, go through the same thing. Go to the scripture and find where Jesus spit and put his hands on people's eyes. Amen. Well, are you born again?
Yes.
Are you filled with the Spirit?
Yes.
Your spit's just as holy as his was. Yes.
Hallelujah.
And you just say, Beautiful, beautiful brown eyes, green eyes, blue eyes, black, whatever color yours. This is one thing I so enjoy about my partners floating through my study. I can get up there and look you in the eye. Some of the most beautiful eyes. Glory to God. And every time you smile, they get bright. It takes almost no muscles at all to smile. But to frown? All right. Because of our restrictions, we'll do it this way. In the name of Jesus, I receive healing in my head. No more headaches. I'll never have another headache again. I receive healing in my ears. I've already received healing in my eyes. I receive healing in my sinuses. I receive healing in my nose. I receive healing in my mouth, my gums, my teeth, my tongue, both in the natural and what I say, my throat. Praise God, something happened right then. Whoa. All under my ears, this whole part of my neck, the nerves right there at the brain stem, coming down my neck, my shoulders are healed. Praise God, my shoulders are healed. My arms are healed. My back is healed. My hands, my fingers are healed. My thumbs are healed. No more arthritis in my hands and wrists. In the name of Jesus. My arms are healed. My elbows are healed. Praise God. My liver is healed. My heart is healed. I declare it with my mouth. I believe it in my heart. Glory to God. The small of my back is healed. Right at the tip of your tailbone, somebody has had really so sore that it's hard for you to sit down. But that's healed right now. The power of God is going through that part of your spine right at this moment in the name of Jesus. Praise God. My SI joints are healed. My vertebrae are healed. All the discs in my neck, my back, my low back are all healed and well. No arthritis in the back. No arthritis. No bursitis. All the itis boys are gone. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. No pain. Jesus carried my pains. He bore my pains. He bore my sicknesses. He bore my griefs. He bore my sorrows. He bore poverty for me. Glory to God. I have no lack anymore in my life. I'm healed and well. Glory to God. The thighs of my legs are healed. The forward part of my thighs, the back part of my thighs are all healed and well. Going down through my knees, glory to God. And my ankles are healed and my toes are healed. Glory to God. I can do this. I can stand up on my toes. Woo! Yee-haw! Glory to God. I can stand up on my toes. Yeah, God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. The lower part of this part of my body is healed. In every area, any problems below my waist, in my intestines, in my stomach, in my colon. Now listen. Now, most of you know this, but now I want to tell you something. The colon is actually your body's sewer. And in that colon is where viruses grow. I'm going to help you here with something. In the name of Jesus. Flu virus.
Die.
In my colon. You die now. My colon is healed and well. My intestines are healed and well. My appendix is healed. And I can have new parts. I can have a new heart. Anybody having any trouble with your heart? I'll tell you what, when my heart started acting up, and I preached in a prison that night, and for the first time, I got short of breath. And I didn't quit preaching, but I got in the airplane. I was in the back of the Citation 10, and Dwayne was flying, our chief pilot, and we landed over in an airport in Dallas, or in Lancaster, and it had begun to rain. And that night there were thunderstorms. They said, told Mike Barber, we don't know whether you ought to set up your tent or not. But he went ahead and set it up. And so when we got the news, we rebuked those thunderstorms and tornadoes, and they went all the way around that tent, and there were tornadoes out in other areas, did not touch that tent, and didn't start raining until everybody was out of the tent and back in their cells and so forth. And we had an absolute runaway of healing in that place that night. Glory to God. And I got back in the airplane, and I was just sitting there, and a smile on my face, and the glory of God just filled up the cabin of that airplane. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, glory. 8:42 in the evening, October the 12th. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. 2017, I think it was, or 2018. And I heard the word of the Lord. I have given you a new heart. I take it, I receive my new heart. And I began to say, I'm Kenneth Newhart Copeland. Glory to God. I have a new heart. And the cardiologist, I'm in an anti-aging group, and it's called Synergenics, and it's just more fun. And the cardiologist that was working with me, Dr. George Shapiro, and I told him, I said, hey, Doc, I have a new heart. He said, okay. I have a new heart. I have a new heart. I have a new heart. I'm Kenneth Newhart. Glory to God. I have a new heart. I didn't quit what I was doing. I just kept on preaching. I could feel that thing when it was acting up. Never did have a pain with it at all. I could feel it. And so I preached at Jesse and Kathy's church there in New Orleans. And I could feel that kind of dancing across there. So I asked people to come up that had any trouble with their heart. Now I'm going to teach you something right here. There were people, I said, don't anybody come up unless you're having some kind of heart trouble. They came up there with everything from foot trouble. Don't do that. Don't do that. The Spirit of God instructed me to do that. So you come up there under false pretenses. Well, I didn't correct anybody that Sunday morning, but don't ever do that. You stand back and pray for those that came up and receive your healing where you're sitting or standing under the same anointing, but follow the Spirit of God's rules. Listen, listen. Amen. Did you learn anything today? Well, give the Lord a big shout. Glory to God. Be seated. Be seated. Glory to God. Now, any of you that have already been healed in here this morning, stand up. You know you've already been here. I mean, you got the evidence of it. Well, just shout about it right now. Glory to God. Amen. Now, you can be seated under normal conditions. we would have you come up and so forth, and we'd lay hands on, but the people of Hilton Memorial Chapel don't want us to do that. And that's fine. But just the fact you stood up and testified, glory to God. Just shouted about it. Amen. Is there a woman that already knows that the lump is gone out of the breast in this room? Praise God. Now, I knew somebody got seriously healed in your back today. Yeah, you did. Glory to God. There's another one. There's another one. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, guys, what's happening there at home?
Well, praise God, Brother Copeland. There are people calling in from all over the nation and literally from all over the world, from the top of the world to the bottom and all the way around the middle. Before we get started, we want to remind people to give us a call for testimonies, praise reports, prayer requests, 877-281-6297. Our licensed prayer ministers are standing by and people are literally responding. Brother Copeland, you were just talking about people receiving a new heart and about what God can do with new parts. Daryl in Greensboro, North Carolina called in looking for his new heart. He's praying for his new heart. Let me tell you, when you call that phone number, our licensed prayer ministers will come into agreement with you according to the word of God. And I know Pastor Holden, you've got some testimonies over
there. Glory to God. Pastor John, I'm excited. Here is Jim from Tennessee. He's been dealing with allergy conditions in his throat, and when Brother Copeland called out healing for his throat, he received his healing right then. Praise the Lord. We're excited and we're rejoicing with you. Kimberly, they've been watching the DC Victory Campaign Healing School, and she was confessing the healing prayer with Brother Copeland, and she had pain in her wrist and feet, and praise the Lord, it is now gone.
Praise
Amen.
God.
We're excited for what's going on here.
Amen. I'm telling you, call that phone number. We want to hear from you. 877-281-6297. Back to you, Brother Copeland. Praise God.
Kurt, what do we have going on?
Absolutely. On Facebook, Susan Kindred had arthritis, and the pain is totally gone right now.
Thank you.
Also, so many of you are wondering what I'm looking at, I'm reading right off of Facebook here. Kathy, I asked Jesus last night to help me here, and your message jumped and heard prayer and received her healing. Melissa said it has scar tissue and it's disappearing right now. Liz, I am healed by the power of God. My vision is clear. My lockjaw just went away. Thank you, Jesus. There's no respecter of persons. People are being touched from the top of the world to the bottom and all the way around the middle. Victorian said, I am healed. Praise God. I'm claiming my healing.
Oh,
amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Amen.
Glory
now, and this will continue to work all day. It'll just work, just continue to, Brother Hagin used to say, keep the switch of faith turned on. Just keep it going. Just keep it going. It'll continue throughout the service tonight. And I already know what the Lord has instructed me to preach to you tonight. And you're going to like it. I can tell you that. You will like it. Because there's great deliverance in it, and when we'll see it. And you can just, you know what? You can just kiss fear goodbye. When you learn the truth about corresponding action. If you do not have a Weymouth translation of the New Testament, it's called the New Testament in Modern Speech. Well, it was out of print, and so Kenneth Copeland Publications put it back into print, and you can get it. That's where the phrase corresponding action came, that faith without corresponding action is dead. Amen. Somebody just got healed right over the top of the right kidney. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Someone, I don't know who it was. Praise God. Whoa. Man, that's strong. Pray. Well, it'll work for your left one, too.
Yeah.
But it was in the right one. I physically felt it there, just a little shock in that right kidney. And if that was you somewhere out there, testify to it. Glory to God. If it was somebody in here, stand up.
Yeah.
Praise God. There she is right back there.
Yeah.
Glory to God. Yeah. Yes, hallelujah. I'll tell you, that lump is gone. I mean it. Now, somebody's going to testify to that before the day's up. Praise God. Okay, what else, guys? You got anything else there? Anything else coming through?
Praise God. We've got a few testimonies that are coming through, Brother Copeland. We just saw some walk over for different parts of the body. And some of the things that you've called out, Brother Copeland.
Yes, sir. We have right here Carmel, Carmel from Pompano Beach believed he has his new heart. Praise the Lord. We're in agreement with that right now. Here's Neely from Texas, is healed all over from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet and is blessed by the ministry. And here's Grazia, and I'm excited about this. When she called in the victory for her mother who had a brain hemorrhage and was in the hospital for 3 weeks. Initially, she was unresponsive, and now, praise the Lord, she has been discharged from the hospital. We are rejoicing and praising God. The healing anointing is flowing.
Absolutely, absolutely. We've also got Virginia here from Suwanee, Oklahoma. She says that fever left her. Her ears are now open.
Amen.
And so that's us praying from the crown of our head down to the soles of our feet. She began to receive that healing right there. I want to remind everybody, 877-281-6297. You can use that phone number to send us your prayer requests and your testimonies. Back to you guys there. Glory to God.
Thank you so much, Pastor John. Bev put in here on the comments on Facebook, I received my healing and stood for my son to be set free. Also, Tammy put in, I received a healing today in my neck. And now this one here is going to make you all stand up and shout if I don't get emotional reading it. Lynn put in here, Brother Copeland, praise God. I have been praying with my sister for healing from Parkinson's. Last night, I told the Lord I wanted to see my sister walk upstairs. She didn't know this, but just a few minutes ago, I looked up and she was coming up the steps. I declared her healing and spoke it out from this disease in Jesus' name. And I believe God is touching and healing her completely right now.
Let's sing it. Let's sing the same thing again. Your name is higher than any other.
Your name is Jesus. Your name is Lord. Your name is higher than
Let's just praise Him. Let's just praise Him. Thank you, Jesus. What have we been doing today? What has been happening here and around the world? We've been standing on the promises of Christ, my King. Isn't that what we've been doing? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. It's working. Standing on the promises of God. Standing
on the promises of God. My Savior, still standing, I stand.
He's my healer. Thank God He's my Savior. Thank God He's my baptizer. Thank God I'm healed and well. Glory to God. Oh, glory to God. There are brain healings. Autism is being healed. The nerves of the brain unscrambled, just unscrambled. Glory to God. Oh, we have had testimonies of this. Testimonies. Our grade partners in the Netherlands. Little autistic boy. All the classic symptoms of autism. But the mother said, no, no. And she began to play our tapes. This is back in the times when we were tapeworms. Remember that? It's just on faith and the Word of God. She just played them in his room and just played them just continually and just told him he was healed. Just kept talking to him, told him he was healed. Well, he went to a special school. And then on a special bus, they would come by and pick him up. And he got off of the bus one day. And Kurt, he walked up to his mother. And he said, why do I have to ride that bus with those funny people? Completely, totally healed.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise
in a day's time. But it had been going on for a long time. The Word was working all that time. And the mother and the daddy would not just sit still and have that happen. No, no, no. Thank God the Word just unscrambled his little brain. Yes. Whatever the brain problems are. Memory problems. Whatever it is under the curse and you no longer have it. Memory full, restored, glory to God. Maybe that needs to be the name of the seed. Full restoration. Spirit, soul, body, ministry, whatever it is. Go back to work. Go back on the job. Go back and pastor the church. Amen. Just like the gardeners. Just refused. Just refused the death report. And she asked me, well, what do you think about a bypass? And I said, well, if that's what it takes, you know. I can't tell you what to do about that. You have to believe God. And she did. Did you have the bypass? No. And didn't they say his heart has no damage? Pull that thing down where I'm going to... Dr. Jesus. Yes, amen. And the church got their pastor back. Because it was the whole church family. That's the reason it matters where you go to church. The whole church family was believing God. Not just his wife. Not just his family. The whole church family. EMIC is like that. I mean, you get on one of us. You get on, I mean, the whole church family responds. And that's the way it should be.